last few weeks, we went through Revelation, the tribulation, the four horses, what those represent. We studied demons, angels, heaven. So lots of different topics that were interesting. And I just want to take a break from that for a little bit and talk about the scriptures, the Bible a little bit. And if you have your notes, you can get those out. And while you're getting that out, I want to read this. I've had this in my files for years. And it's called The Uniqueness of the Bible. You can just listen. It takes a few minutes to read, but it's really interesting, okay? The Bible is the only book that was written over a 1,500-year span, written by more than 40 authors from every walk of life. Kings, military leaders, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, tax collectors, poets, musicians, statesmen, scholars, and shepherds. So think about this. I'm going to go through this a little slow so we can digest it here, how interesting and unique the Bible is. 1,500 years, 40 authors from all of these different walks of life, from kings to peasants. Moses was a political leader and a judge trained in the universities of Egypt. David was a king, a poet, a musician, a shepherd, and a warrior. Amos was a herdsman. Joshua was a military leader. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to a pagan king. Daniel was a prime minister. Solomon, a king and a philosopher. Luke was a physician and a historian. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew, a tax collector. Paul, a rabbi. And Mark was Peter's secretary. It was written with all of these different authors in very different places, by Moses in the wilderness, by Jeremiah in a dungeon, Daniel on a hillside and in a palace, Paul inside prison walls, Luke while traveling, John while in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and it was written in different times. David in times of war and sacrifice, Solomon in times of peace and prosperity, written in different moods, some writing from the heights of joy, others writing from the depths of sorrow and despair. Some during times of certainty and conviction. Others during days of confusion and doubt. It was written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It's a variety of different writing styles, poetry, historical narrative, song, romance, didactic treatise, personal correspondence, memoirs, satire, biography, autobiography, law, prophecy, parable, and allegory. The Bible addresses hundreds of controversial subjects that create opposing opinions when mentioned or discussed. The Bible writers treated hundreds of hot topics, kind of like Pastor Stovall did last Monday night. He's going to do a lot more in the next 300. Marriage, divorce, remarriage, homosexuality, adultery, obedience to authority, truth-telling and lying, character development, parenting, the nature and revelation of God. So, think about this. 1,500 years, 40 authors from all walks of life, different places, kings in palaces to wilderness, different times, different moods, three continents, three languages, all different types, from laws to poetry to parables. And yet, there's an amazing degree of harmony. In spite of all this diversity, the Bible presents one single unfolding story, God's redemption of humans. The unifying thread is salvation from sin and condemnation to a life of transformation in the presence of the one merciful, holy God. And the most important among all people described in the Bible, the leading character throughout, is the one true living God made known through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament law, we see the foundation of Christ. I don't know if I'll get to it this morning, but throughout the Old Testament, we see Jesus, don't we? In fact, we see him throughout the whole. We studied Revelation. It's the revelation of who? It's the revelation of Jesus. And you can find Jesus in every book of the Bible. The historical books show the preparation for Christ. The poetical works aspire to Christ. The prophecies display the expectation pointing to Christ. The New Testament Gospels record the manifestation of Christ. And Acts relate the propagation of his church. The epistles interpret Christ. Revelation reveals the consummation of all things, Christ revealing himself. And from cover to cover, the Bible is what we call Christocentric. And maybe you've even heard a sermon that shows the scarlet thread of Jesus that runs from Genesis to Revelation. He's the main character. He's the Word made flesh. And so look in your, if you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Last night I was, got home from church and we had a great day yesterday. And I was late. I was studying. I just said, I'm going to read Psalm 119 before I go to bed. Maybe you want to try that sometimes. I don't know. There's 170-something verses in Psalm 119. The whole thing is about God's Word. And I'll tell you, I woke up this morning after reading it last night, and I woke up this morning and I was hungry for more of God's Word. And so I'm going to give you four challenges to being devoted to the Scriptures. And the first one is to commit to being a lifetime student of God's Word. A lifetime student of God's Word. Maybe you're a new Christian here, or maybe you've been saved 30, 40, or 50 years. It doesn't matter. Because we all have to make a lifetime commitment to the Word of God. Some of you guys know my testimony. I went to law school for a year. I really wanted to be in the ministry. I really felt called to be a pastor, so I took a different direction. But when I was in law school, I got saved right before that, a couple years before that, 3 years. And when I got saved, I didn't know one scripture. And so I said, look, I just need to be a student of God's Word. I just need to start to study it. I went to this church. They taught out of the King James Version, and they weren't one of these churches. They didn't have screens back then, and they didn't have the internet. And so the preacher would get up there and talk out of the King James Version, and it was not one of these churches that broke it down where you could understand. I mean, they went 100 miles an hour. There was no breaking it down for people. They weren't putting the cookies on the bottom shelf. And so I'd sit in there. They would say, open the Bible. I couldn't find the Bible. I didn't know any scriptures. I'd be lost. I said, I got to study the Bible. So I just went in the library, and I just began to study. And they opened up. I mean, I opened up to, you know, Genesis. I started reading all those begats. I said, I need help. I don't even understand. I mean, I'm bored with it. I can't even make it through the begats. Yeah, you know. And so I said, listen, I need to just break this thing down where I can understand. I said, I need like a children's Bible. I need this thing broken down where I can understand. I need something like in modern. I went to the bookstore. I said, and there was this purple Bible, and it said, the Bible in modern English. I said, okay, this is for me. It's like a paraphrase. And so I said, listen, I'm just going to study. I was embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't know one scripture. And so I just began to study the Bible. I said, I'm gonna be a lifetime student of God's Word. And I went to law school, and I had this one professor, and we call her the Ice Woman. And Pastor Stovall knows who she is because his dad's an attorney. And so in law school, they do what they call the Socratic method, which means they'll call upon anybody at any time and say, what's this case, Mr. Brooks? And you have to, like, talk about it, and it's kind of scary, right? Because they'll make fun of you and terrify you in front of everyone. And so in Louisiana, they have what they call the Civil Code. And it's a book about this thick. The pages are real thin. We adopted this from France. How many of you know Louisiana's backward? If you've ever been to Mardi Gras, you can tell it's still backwards. So they're the only state that has, you know, this code from France They have two different law systems there. And so this book, it's called the Civil Code. They still use it today. It's thousands of laws. It's really interesting because it's got laws in there like if a dog bites someone and the owner doesn't know that it has a history of biting, you can't, then he gets one free bite. That's in there. You get a free bite because you're not liable because you didn't know that your dog would bite the person. So that's like a law in there. Goes back, so we don't just get law from cases, but we develop it from the civil code, right? So why am I telling you all this? So I'm in this class, and this professor, this lady, she knew that civil code backwards and forwards. In fact, she would be like, turn in your civil code to page 523 and look in the top right-hand corner, and it's going to have, you know, it's going to have article number 74, section A, the third paragraph, and read. She could do that throughout the whole thing. And I was blown away by how she memorized the civil code. She had the whole, how in every book there's more common sections, right? She knew those things. She had them memorized. And I just sat there as a new believer and I said, if she can memorize the civil code, how much more should we be able to memorize God's holy word? And I just said, I want to study the word. I want to know the word. And she said, and so did you know that the Israelites, when they were, I think it was around age 6, they would memorize the first 5 books of the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they would memorize those. How many of you could get a little convicted about that? If a 10-year-old memorizes 5 books of the Bible, how many of you know we need to study to show ourselves approved? And so you just make a decision, okay, no matter where you are with your understanding and study of the Word, that doesn't matter. You just say, I'm going to keep studying and going in God's Word. I'm going to keep moving forward in God's Word. Number one, it's living. It is anyway, isn't it? It's living. So, you know, I remember when I first got saved, my roommate, he was the punter for LSU. He's got red hair. He's like 6'7". He said, when are you going to quit? When are you going to finish reading that book? He said, aren't you finished reading that book yet? How many of you know you never finish reading God's word? It's living. It speaks to you. And so just commit to be a student. Commit. And so here's a couple of things that helped me. Maybe it'll help you. I got one Bible that I really liked. Okay, this is it right here. And I said, every time I come to church, and the, you know, because now they have all the scriptures on the screens, and we have iPhones and iPads and stuff, and those are awesome tools. In fact, I've been reading the Bible on my iPhone and my iPad. But I got one Bible. I went and picked it out myself, and I picked one translation, which when I went to church, it was the King James Version is what we used. But I like that because I began to memorize scripture. But all the these and thous, we don't talk like that, number one. And also, there's lots of words in there that we don't use anymore. And so that we don't know what they mean. And so if you're just reading it in your room, there's gonna be words. You're gonna have to look up the words because we don't use those words. They don't mean the same thing, even if we use some of them. And so you have to have a dictionary to look up some of these archaic words. And we don't talk like that. That's fine if you want to memorize that. Just know that it's going to be a little different. But that's the word. That's the translation that they use in our church. So I stuck with the King James, but I got tired of the these and thou. So I said, okay, I'm going to go to the New King James. The NIV is awesome. The New American Standard Version is awesome. They're incredible translations of the Bible. I said, I'm going to be the New King James guy. I'm not like legalistic about it. I'm just saying that's for me. Pastor Stovall teaches out of the New King James a lot. And it really helped me to have one version of the Bible to memorize scriptures. It really helped me to have one version of the Bible to memorize the scriptures because different translations mix all the words around. And so you're trying to memorize a scripture, and then you hear it a different way, and now you're all confused. So get one translation, whatever it is, and that's the memory. That's how you memorize verses, is out of that translation. Stick to it. And I said, I got this Bible, and every time I would hear a sermon, I would turn in my own Bible to that passage and underline it and write a note. I'm telling you, that helped me a lot. And when I would buy books from authors that had scripture references, as I read through the book, I would have my Bible and I would open up. And I wanted to see it in my Bible. And I would underline it, maybe write a note. I'm telling you, that helped me feel like I had a command of scriptures. And I did that for years. And I had my Bible, it was just almost every scripture would have an underline and a note. And this Bible, especially in the epistles, it's pretty, almost every scripture is underlined. And I even got to where when I think of Psalm 23, when I think of that psalm, I can visualize it in my own Bible. And when I think of Psalm 23, I know where it is on the page, kind of where it is in the Bible, and I even think of what color highlighter I highlighted it in. And then I was at St. John's campus at Bartram High School, and I lost that Bible four years ago. I cannot find it. I still am sad and will even weep thinking about how I lost that stinking Bible. I got it right when we started Celebration Church, that special Bible. But I got a replica. This is the same thing, exact same thing. And I started over in 2005. So why am I telling you that? I really think it'll help you. Get your own Bible. Electronic tools are good, but if you want to feel like you, I mean, you know why? It's just like the civil code. This is I'm going to have a command of this book right here. Okay? I'm going to know where the scriptures are in this book. I'm going to look them all up myself. That'll help you. And so, becoming a lifetime student of the Word of God. Let me say this before I forget. If you have a hunger to study God's Word, and you say this, okay, just what I'm talking about here, and you say this, I don't want to be ashamed. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't want to be ashamed, and you feel a hunger and a desire to study the word and to understand the word and to be a man of the word, you need to obey that. That's God. He's given you a desire, and he's putting that in your heart and saying, okay, I want to be a man of God. How would you like it if when they read your eulogy, how many of you know it is appointed to man, to all men, is appointed unto man to die? That God told Moses to number your days. And so when we all are going to be in the ground one day, and some preacher's going to come up there and talk about us, and then everybody's going to go eat. Right? How many of you know, when they get up there, how would you like them to say, Dave Vartanian loved God's word. He was a man who loved God's word. And when we went to him, he would always have a word from God from the scriptures. How many of you know that's a pretty good thing to be remembered by? He was a man of the word. Your grandkids will say, okay, I remember Chris. He was bald. But he loved God's word. It's not too late. It's not too late, is it? And so just make that decision today. I'm going to be a man of the word. Just to have a vision of yourself like this. You're up in age now. You're in your 70s, 80s. 90s. You got a Bible. You got this thing, and it's got stains in it. It's got tears in it. Tear stains. You're sitting on your porch, and your grandkids are coming alongside, and you just have a command of scriptures. You've been in this thing for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You've been studying this thing. It's who you are. You are a man of the word. Is that a good vision? I mean, I would rather be known of that than that was Chris. He loved LSU football. He went to all the games. That's good. But I mean, come on, man. How many of you know that'll disappoint you? How many of you know you can't live on that? And so, I just want to challenge you today to be a lifetime student of God's Word. I got some more notes somewhere. In Psalm 119 says, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. I'm in Psalm 119, verse 9. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. Having a hunger for God's word. Jack Hayford. Who's heard of Pastor Jack Hayford? Raise your hand. A few of you. Well, he's a pastor. He's in Los Angeles. He's been pastoring for, I don't know, 50 or 60 years probably. Church on the Way is his church. He founded King's Seminary. He's kind of a pastor to pastors. And he said, you know, they were asking him about God's word. And he said, you know, do you ever get tired of reading the Gospels? Because he said, I've read the Gospels thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And he said, the scripture says, it's in Psalms. I can't remember which psalm it is. Psalms, it's in the 60s. But it's this psalm, maybe Psalm 62, it says, on him is who I will look, on him who trembles at my word. On him is who I will look, who trembles at my word. And he said, it basically means this. God's going to speak to the person who honors and respects his word. That's who he's going to look to. That's who he's going to speak to. When you honor and respect the word, God's going to look to you. He's going to speak to you. And Jack Hayford said this, I just began to read the Gospels on my knees. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? He said, I began to get up and I wanted to honor God's word. And he said, I began to read the Gospels on my knees every morning to show honor to the word of God. And so making a decision to learn and understand the Bible. I think I'm going to just save some of this for next week. And so a couple of ideas is we want to become familiar with the great. I'll just save the rest of your outline for next week. But we want to become familiar with the great themes of Scripture and the overall story of the Bible. The great themes of Scripture. Think about some of the themes of Scripture. One of the main themes of Scripture is redemption, isn't it? God takes a people, he rescues them from slavery, and you see the story of redemption. You see, we'll talk about this probably next week, but you see Jesus throughout the Bible. You see types and shadows of Jesus. In fact, I did a study a couple weeks ago of Jesus in the Old Testament. Maybe you've done the same. I found 52 types and shadows, there's even more prophecies referring to Jesus. And those are fascinating, aren't they? And especially when the prophecies that point to the Messiah in the Old Testament are just fascinating to me. Did you know, even around the cross, did you know it's prophesied that he would say, that they would gamble for his clothes? It's prophesied that they would try to feed him, try to put vinegar because he's thirsty. It's prophesied that he would say, why have you forsaken me? It's prophesied that they would tear his garments. It's prophesied they would put a crown of thorns on his head. Isn't that heavy? It's prophesied that Judas would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. All that was a fulfillment of prophecy. It's prophesied that they would sing a hymn before they would go out that day. It's prophesied that not one of his bones would be broken. Typically, they would break his, they would break someone's bones in a crucifixion. And so you can study that. My favorite, if you want to study before then, one of my favorite messianic psalms is Psalm 22. A lot of that's in there. So let's say a prayer, and I'm going to pray for us, no matter where you are in your life, don't give up on God's word. You say, well, I've heard the Bible. I've studied the Bible a long time. Listen, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything. I've studied the Bible a long time. That doesn't mean anything. You have to keep studying. You have to stay in the word. It's living. Jesus talked about man shall not live by bread alone. He said, I am the bread of life. And then he was referring to the, when the Israelites had to get manna. Every day they had to take just enough manna for the day, didn't they? And if they couldn't store up extra manna or it would rot. And so we have to, listen, you could have been studying the word as a young man or even recently, and it can grow dry and sterile, and you don't have any desire for God's word. In fact, what a great prayer is just to say this: I want to have a hunger for your word. I want to put that hunger inside of me for your word. I want to hunger for your word more than I do recreation. You know that word recreation? I was thinking about this last night. It means recreate. And so if you like golf, if you like training at the gym, if you like doing what you do, motorcycles, your housework, whatever you do around your house or yard or cars, whatever you're into, you know, what if that just recreated you for the main thing of God's word? What if that refreshed you for your family and for the word of God? I don't want it to be reversed. I don't want to live for NASCAR and give God the seconds. Amen. Let's say a prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And people died for your word. Men have given their life so that we could have your word here this morning. And I pray we would make time for it. God, I pray that scripture that we would not be ashamed, but we would rightly divide, have a balanced understanding of your word. We would give ourselves to your word. Some men don't like to read, God. I pray you, it doesn't matter. I pray you'd put a desire for your word in their heart. They would want and long to read your statutes, your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. God, I pray we'd be known in our generation, known even in the next generations, as men who loved your word, who had a command of your word, who could quote your word to others, who loved to study and spend time in your word. God, we know it'll bring change to our own life. In Jesus' name, amen.